The Americas.
Colombia and Spain. Arguing over a shipwreck. A sunken galleon raises awkward questions over deep-sea archaeology.
The San Jose was sailing for Cartagena on Colombia's Caribbean coast when in 1708 a squadron of British warships set upon the galleon and she sank. She was carrying riches gathered in the New World back to Spain to fund its war of succession. Emeralds, porcelain of the Qing dynasty, gold coins and silver from Potosi, modern-day Bolivia. With a present-day value estimated at many billions of dollars, the San Jose is the world's most valuable wreck. Colombia's Navy found it in 2015 with the help of a firm called Maritime Archaeology Consultants. The discovery prompted a bitter row over the wreck's ownership. Colombia says the ship is protected as an inalienable item of cultural interest because it lies in its territorial waters. Spain argues that it owns the vessel because international law recognises a wreck like the San Jose as the property of the state whose flag it flew. The Caracara, an indigenous Bolivian group, says the precious metals on board came from their land, a claim that Colombia's president, Gustavo Petro, acknowledged last year. Colombia has recently moved one step closer to revealing the ship's secrets. Its researchers have sent a remotely operated vehicle, or ROV, down to photograph, scan and study the San Jose, which is mostly buried in the seabed 600 metres beneath the waves. On June 5th, Juan David Correa, Colombia's culture minister, said they found several anchors and confirmed that the wreck has not been looted. It's the first very successful phase of a government-run mission that may last for years. But Mr. Petro is in a hurry. He wants grand results under his presidency, which ends in 2026. Like other leftist leaders in Latin America, he wants to decolonize culture. Adding to the legal tangle is an arbitration claim against Colombia for $10 billion, brought in 2022 by Sea Search Armada, a company based in the United States. It says it found the wreck in 1982 and claims half its value. Peter Campbell, a marine archaeologist, describes the amount as fanciful, noting that shipwreck recovery outfits have a poor record in court. Colombia could close the case by revealing the wreck's location, proving Sea Search Armada wrong, but is adamant that the coordinates remain classified. Mr. Correa is trying to calm the storm. He insists his country is not after the gold. "This is not an excavation, it's an exploration," he says. Speeches about the wreck by government officials are littered with the phrase "non-intrusive investigation." "The scientists will intervene only when they have a better picture of what is down there," says Dr. Alejna Caicedo, director of Colombia's Institute of Anthropology and History. After studying the footage from the ROV, they'll lift samples to the surface and send them to laboratories in Cartagena that have been kitted out by Colombia's maritime authorities. Conservation is a delicate task. 3 centuries immersed in salt water mean parts of the wreck might crumble on contact with oxygen on the surface. Gold is tougher. The archaeologists hope the San Jose's remains will eventually go on display in a vast museum, with indigenous and Afro-Colombian communities getting a cut of the proceeds from the exhibition. Experts doubt that Colombia can pull off such a feat without international support and technology. None of the worthy archaeologists involved has experience of deep water sites, says Rodrigo Pacheco Ruiz, who has explored shipwrecks in the Black Sea. Juan Guillermo Martín Rincón, a Colombian archaeologist, worries that national pride may be trumping science. The government wants to show self-sufficiency using phrases such as decolonial archaeology or South-South cooperation, he says. That is no good for science. Deep-sea archaeology is expensive. Colombia has already put $4.5 million into the survey of the San Jose, the most the government has ever stumped up for archaeology. But that is insufficient for the kind of project Colombian officials envisage. For comparison, the Black Sea Maritime Archaeology Project, on which Mr. Pacheco Ruiz worked, cost $63 million over 4 years. It took a decade for scientists to haul the 17th century Vasa warship out of the Baltic Sea. Colombian politics is unlikely to tolerate such extravagance for long. Subsequent governments may well ditch an archaeological project whose cost starts to run into the tens of millions of dollars. Some Colombians already urge the sale of some of the ship's treasures in order to pay for explorations, a solution that's rejected by UNESCO and others. Mr. Petro's government seems to have sacrificed any sensible long-term plan for the recovery of the San Jose in favour of soundbites that play well now. Dr. Pacheco Ruiz thinks the government has erred by failing to submit a plan for independent review that shows how and when the excavation can be carried out, or how much of the money is earmarked for it. Some worry that treasure hunters will be brought back if the archaeologists can't deliver the wreck. Archaeologists often view salvage companies as modern-day pirates, hauling up anything that glitters and destroying history in the process. They're sometimes even accused of destroying local economic prospects by carting off treasures that would have generated revenue through tourism if put on display. The San Jose is their El Dorado. Spain and Colombia may well agree to share whatever comes up from the San Jose, provided nothing is sold. Such a rapprochement might help Colombia to persuade Spain to give back artefacts such as the gold Quimbaya statues, suggests Pierre Lauson, who studies Latin American culture. But if the San Jose is to facilitate this détente, cash will be needed, probably from Colombian government coffers, while the treasure that went down with the ship is dutifully ignored.